Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
Happy Christmas. Great to see you all in church. This is our final service of the decade. There we go. Our last service of the decade. Why don't we make it our best, eh? Welcome to our online community who are joining us from all over the world this afternoon. Would you give them a welcome? Great to have you here. On behalf of Chantal and I, thank you for all your cards, your gifts, your prayers. Amazing. We haven't been able to thank everyone individually, but we really are just so blessed by our church. And you know, many of you know I haven't been well over the last probably 3 months, and I've really feeling a lot better, and got some good specialist help to help me on my breathing and some of the conditions I have. But God's been really faithful, and thank you to the team who've carried the church so well. It's been amazing, so really grateful. And is Melody here? I was going to welcome Melody. She's gone. Okay, great to have Melody here, Steve and Rachel's daughter from Brisbane, Australia as well. Are you all good?
Yeah.
Is everyone feeling a little bit heavier than last week, yeah?
Yeah.
Right, just go up and down on your toes. 5 times. That's a calorie gone. There we go. There we go. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's get on to more serious matters. Father, we just thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for Christmas. We also thank you for what you've done in our lives over the past 10 years. We look back and we thank you. We thank you for carrying us through the trials and the challenges and the circumstances of life. And we're here today and we look back and we thank you, but we look forward and we trust you. And we trust you with the next 10 years, with 2020. We trust you with every one of our personal needs, our situations, our families, our marriages, our finances, all the things that matter to us, they matter to you. And you are a good, good Father, and you love your children. So we receive your love again afresh today. Even when we make mistakes, we mess up, we fall short, you still love us. So we just receive your love today in our lives. Amen. Amen. You guys can grab your seats. Let's give the worship team a hand as they jump down. I want to just share a couple of stories from the Wonder because we've had, I don't know how many messages, hundreds and hundreds of messages on social media and emails and texts and all sorts of things that have come in for the Wonder. But I just thought I'd share a couple with you because I think it's good to share what people are feeling about it because our team put so much effort into it. So this lady emailed, said, I want to take this opportunity to thank you for the amazing production, the Wonder that I saw yesterday at Soul Church. I grew up in a Christian background. I was a follower of Christ. Unfortunately, when I moved here to Norwich for university, I found myself on a lost path with no religious influences. I tried popping along to a few churches, but never felt welcome and often got embarrassed by going alone. I still believed in God and prayed to him for comfort. However, having no religious place of worship or religious friends meant that I've been feeling extremely distant from him. Yesterday, I went to the performance with my boyfriend as we saw it advertised and heard good reviews. From the moment I walked into your church, I felt welcomed with open arms. The volunteers were so warm and welcoming, talking to us as we queued. I was mesmerized by the beauty of the inside of the building, and I loved every minute of the show. Afterwards, you spoke about Christ and that there was some traditional carols. It was at that moment that I really felt God speak to me and tell me that this is where I belonged. It wasn't by pure luck that I had went there for a performance. It was God's plan. My boyfriend isn't religious at all, but said he actually wants to start coming on a Sunday and find out more. He was really touched by the service and everything that you guys stand for. I just wanted to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for such a welcoming church, for having an opportunity like the Wonder for people to come and see, and for helping me find a way back to Christ. I'm now excited about the future. Thank you, and God bless. Pretty amazing, and someone else yet, I really wanted to message today after attending the Wonder. I hope you don't mind me saying, but I've never been religious. And honestly, I've never really understood people's desires to go to a church. But after today, I actually get it. Now, I still don't consider myself religious or believe in the stories that you do, but being there opened my eyes to why others love it so much. The atmosphere is so positive and electric. Everyone is so full of kindness and joy that it radiates from every corner of the room. Worship through the medium of song and acting is something that I could feel, and it was magic. At several points when songs were sung, I looked across at my husband and children and felt so very lucky. The message of peace and family is one that I wholeheartedly relate to. So even though I might not believe in all the same things you do, my life is a little bit richer from sharing today. Thank you for such a wonderful performance. You know, we're all on a journey, aren't we? And every single one of those people are on a journey, and I think the wonder moves people just slightly closer to Jesus. And so well done for bringing your friends and your family and your neighbors and your communities. It was just phenomenal. Now I promise we won't mention the W word for 6 months. I'll try not to. Did you all enjoy the wonder? No, kidding. I think Christmas, isn't it good to have a laugh at Christmas? Yeah. Did anyone have a good laugh? Good to laugh. The Bible says laughter's like medicine. It does your soul good. Now, I love a good laugh. Did you hear about the three men who died on Christmas Eve and were met by St. Peter at the pearly gates? In honor of this holy season, St. Peter said, you must each possess something that symbolizes Christmas to get into heaven. The first man, he fumbled around in his pocket and pulled out a lighter. He flicked it on and he said, it represents a candle. You may pass through the pearly gates, St. Peter said. The second man reached into his pocket and pulled out a set of keys, and he waved them around. He said, these are like bells. They represent Christmas. St. Peter said, okay, then you can come on through. The third man searched desperately for his pockets, and finally he pulled out a pair of women's glasses. St. Peter looked at the man. He raised an eyebrow and said, what on earth do they symbolize? He said, they're carols. Come on, it's good to have a laugh. God bless Carol. Beginning a brand new series today for a brand new decade, a brand new year, and a brand new month called All Things New. Let's say it together. All Things New. And this is a special service because we're also going to be praying for everyone at the end of the service, anointing them with oil, and praying God's presence will go with them as we head into this brand new decade. Now, our series verse comes from Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. And it says, he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. God wants to do some new things in your life. In the New Testament, the apostles would pronounce blessings over the churches they were preaching at, and blessings over the pastors, the leaders, the bishops. They would pronounce blessings, declarations over them. And the apostle John released this power, we're going to read in a moment, released this powerful blessing over a fellow church builder called Gaius. And today, I'm going to take this blessing that he prayed over Gaius and declare it over us, over you, over your family, as we head into this new decade. Now, this blessing comes from the third book of John, chapter 1, verse 2. It says this. It says, here it comes. Beloved. It starts with beloved. The first observation today is this. You are dearly loved. Some of you haven't been told this Christmas that you're loved. I love the way that John starts this letter. He could have started it the way we start our conversations. All right, mate. How you doing? What's up? Or if you're really cool, sup. You ever had that? Some characters are going to go, sup. But no, John has this revelation that actually he wants people to understand that they are loved of God. I was in a shop recently and walked in a few months ago and the lady said, good morning. She says, how are you doing? I said, really kind of you to ask. I've got a few problems. Can I share them with you? She's like, what do you mean? I said, well, you just asked me how I was doing. How many times in life we greet people with these kind of just generalized greetings, but we actually, they don't have any substance to them. And John starts this conversation with this, you are loved. What a way to start a conversation. Imagine walking up to someone in Tesco's, beloved. Where are the pears? Beloved. He starts this conversation with this deep sense of truth that you are loved. You know, before we head into a brand new decade, I think the first thing we need to hear today is this: you're loved. You say, well, I don't deserve love. Hey, you're in good company. We don't deserve to be loved because of our behaviors, our actions, things we've done. But John is saying to Gaius, he's saying this: hey, beloved, you are loved. And as you head out of an old year, an old decade, and head into a new year, God wants to know that you are unconditionally loved. And let me tell you, we've all made our fair share of mistakes, poor choices in the last 10 years, but we cannot change the past. We can honor the past, but we cannot change the past. But the good news is today, we can change today and we can change tomorrow. And so poor John was wanting Gaius to know that he was loved. And then he goes on to this. He says, beloved, he says, I pray, this is his prayer, that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. And so I want to paint a picture for us from this verse for 2020 of what your life could look like. I'm not here to talk about what's happening right now in your life. I want us to paint a picture of what life could look like in the next 10 years from this one scripture. And John is saying to the apostle John, he's to Gaius, he said, we've got to declare it before we see it. You've got to declare the goodness of God before you experience the goodness of God. You say, oh, I'll praise God when life's going well. That's not how it works. In 2019, I wrote down this at the start of the year. I wrote this down in my every year. I wrote things down, declarations. I wrote this down. We will see record attendances at Soul Church. We will see record salvations. We will see record number of people through Soul Track. We'll see record number of people in our groups. We'll see a record-breaking wonder. And we'll see a record-breaking heart for the house. Let me tell you, words have power. Words have power. Everything I wrote down, God has performed in our church. Why? Because as Solomon said, King Solomon, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Be careful what you're speaking over your children. Oh, you little terrors. That's what they'll become. You got to be careful what you declare over them. Words like stupid and idiot should never be talked about in a home. That's not what a healthy home looks like. You speak words of life. And let me tell you, there's times we've got to, you know, talk to them and, you know, talk to them and give them some little guidance. But here's the deal. We've got to speak words of life and empowerment and encouragement. That's how you bring the best out of people. I believe that 2020 will be no ordinary year. Brilliant. It's just me. If you want an ordinary year, just keep going the way you're going. But I'm believing God for an extraordinary year in 2020. 2020 will be a year that the supernatural replaces the natural in your life, in your home, in your business. 2020 will be the year of favor, unprecedented blessing and increase. But it starts with declaring it. What you declare is what you become. So I want to give you three declarations for a new decade. Three declarations for this brand new decade. Number one is this. We're going to pull out from these from this one verse. Number one, declare a vision over your 2020. Over your decade. Declare a vision. You've got to speak it out. You can just pull that verse back one more time, please. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. All things. Everyone say all things. Not some things, not a few things, not one thing. All things. God wants all areas of your life. Your relationships, your marriage, your money. If you're married, your sex life. Oh, now we're awake. See, we talk about real things in this church. God wants you to prosper in all things. All things, every area. Every area. God wants to give you a vision and a dream for your life. What John was saying to Gaius is he's saying, hey, you've got to have a vision for all things of your life. A vision for your finances, your business, your children, your education. When John said that, he was dreaming of what life could be. Prospering in all things. People ask me frequently, why are you so passionate? What drives you? I'll tell you what drives me, the salvation of our city. Because I've got a dream that our city will find God. Now, if I see that dream or I don't see that dream, it doesn't matter, because it's the dream that keeps the engine going. It's the dream that keeps me up and gets me up in the morning. It's the dream that stops me quitting. It's the dream that keeps me going. It's the dream that keeps us together. It's the dream. You've got to get a God dream that you would prosper in all things. Everyone say all.
All.
Oh. God can do, Ephesians 3:20. God can do anything. Should we just pause there? Let's just, oh no, we shouldn't really add to the Bible. God can do anything in 2020. God can do anything in 2020. God can do anything in 2020 on my left-hand side. God can do anything in the middle in 2020. God can do anything. Anything. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. What's God saying to us there? Don't dream timid dreams. Don't dream dreams just because of what your postcode is. Don't dream dreams because of what your education status is. Don't dream dreams because of what your bank account is. You got to dream dreams according to what God says. He says, guess or request in your wildest dreams. I'm getting excited. I'm preaching a whole lot better than you're responding. Some of you had a little bit too much Christmas pudding. Come on, shake it off. We arrived back from Cape Town 6 years ago on Boxing Day. 6 years ago. We had 9 suitcases and a little girl, 2-year-old girl. We didn't have a home. We didn't have a job. We didn't have a salary. We didn't have a church. We didn't have anything. But we did have one thing. We had a dream. Yeah. You know what? Your dream will keep you going. Even when your circumstances look like they're going in the opposite direction, if you've got a God dream for your life, you hold on to the dream, it'll get you past every single circumstance in life. You got to hold on to the dream in all things. God can do anything. Don't tell me God can't. The evidence is all around that He can. Oh, but John, there's too many queues on the road to get to church. Good. Because it's the God dream coming to pass. We couldn't even get people in the last service. It's the God dream. In our vision statement, it says that buildings will struggle to contain the increase of what God is doing. You know, hang on, before you clap. When we put our vision statement together, that was not happening. You got to declare it before you see it. And now buildings are struggling to contain the increase of what God is doing. I wonder what your dream is for your life. I wonder what you need to write down. I wonder what you need to declare daily over your life. I wonder if you've got comfortable. You know, it's easy to get comfortable, isn't it? Paul's saying here, God can go beyond anything we can dream. You can never outdream God. You know, you'll never know what you're capable of accomplishing unless you dream beyond. Soul Church will always be an environment that encourages you to dream big. Dream big. Your big dream does not offend God. Young people, where's all the young people? Dream big for your life. Dream big for your life. Well, I don't have the right education, or I don't have the right... No, you don't need that. You just need the God dream. You've got to hold on to the dream that God has for you. Our dreams determine our destiny. Keep dreaming. Keep believing God for more in your life. Dream of what life could be, not where you're at. Number one, you got to declare a vision over your 2020. Number two, declare a vision over your health. It's interesting, straight after John encouraging Gaius to dream, he says, hey, I want you to believe God that you're going to be in good health. Be in health. I think we'd all agree, apart from the gift of salvation, the greatest blessing we can ever receive is health. And I think it's really amazing how this verse, health follows the dream, because if you're not in health, you can't ever see your dream. You might have a dream for a business, but if you're sick on your back, you can't get the business off. And what John was saying is, he said, hey, it's one thing to dream, but here's the other thing. You've got to stay in good health to see the God dream come to fruition in your life. And all things begins with health. And God wants you to accomplish everything in your life, but it begins with good health. Our physical health, our emotional health, our mental health. Jesus didn't walk on water all the time. He didn't calm storms all the time, but he did heal all the time. Jesus constantly went about healing people. And I'm personally believing for a healthy 2020. 2020, because for Chantel and I to accomplish everything God's placed in our hearts for this church, for us as a couple, we've got to stay strong. We've got to stay healthy. And that's not just body, by the way, that's mind. That's mine. And so I want to just share. I haven't been well over the last couple of months, and I've had a lot of reflection time, and I probably should have stopped to listen to the doctor, but I didn't. So I want to share some thoughts I have around supernatural health, some of the things that have helped me and some of the things that have hindered me. Is that okay? Because like John the Apostle, my prayer is that you would prosper in health. Health. And I'm not just talking about having a good feeling good. I'm talking about actually walking in health, body, mind, and soul. So these are three things that God showed me when it comes to supernatural health. Number one, the key to walking in health is prayer. Now this might sound elementary, it might sound pretty basic, but prayer is so crucial. Prayer is simply our daily confession over our lives, our bodies. I want to encourage you to declare health over your body. David said, you anoint my head. I want literally to lay hands on your head and say, my mind is sound. My mind is strong. And when you have a physical ailment in your body that's sick, you lay hands on it. I've had a chest problem and I've been laying hands on my chest. I'm saying, in the precious name of Jesus, you have already paid the price for this sickness. I declare this body will be well. It will be whole. And today I will walk. I declare I will walk in divine health because it is my right as a child of God. We cannot accept sickness. We cannot accept sickness. Yes, we get sick. And yes, these things come, but we cannot accept it in our bodies. We have to, number one, declare it, that by his stripes we are healed. David said it like this. He said, praise the Lord, O my soul, in most being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Then David gives us two of the major benefits of being a follower of Christ. He says this, who forgives all your sins. You're loved. Number two, and he says this, he heals all. Now, the word of God is either true or it's not. All. I'm claiming that every single one of the colds, the symptoms, the flus in my body in 2020 will align up with God's word, and all disease will leave, and I will walk in wholeness and health in Jesus' name. It's without exception. You know, we can accept it. Now, the amount of people that walk out of church, shake my hand, they said, oh, don't shake my hand, you'll get a cold. I don't live in that realm. I don't live in that realm. I don't accept that stuff. I have a protector around me. I can shake your hand. I trust God, and I believe God, if any symptoms are around, that he will protect me from flu. And this is how we've got to live. We cannot live accepting everything around us. We walk in divine health, and we walk in divine favor. So number one, if you're going to walk in supernatural health, you've got to pray. You've got to pray. It's not just enough to come on a Sunday. There's got to be a daily declaration of faith over your life. Number two, Holy Communion. Holy Communion. Why I'm calling it Holy Communion? Because it's holy. It's set aside. It's not just another meal. It's sanctified. Jesus didn't suffer and die just for our forgiveness. He died for our healing. And every time we partake in healing, we are literally ingesting health and vitality and strength. And I've been talking about this for a while, but can I encourage you, do not keep communion to the four walls of this building. Buy a little communion kit for home. Take it with your family. Believe God. You've got to take pills and keep doing what the doctor said, but why don't you wash it down with communion? Double strength. Don't underestimate the power of Holy Communion. Sickness has no right in our bodies. Now, what I'm going to share with you, I want you to, again, hear my heart on this, because I'm a big believer in nutrition. Okay, I think The world is waking up to some of the things we put in our bodies. I've been starting to do meat-free Mondays, and I'm really enjoying it. I don't know where that'll take me, but I'm enjoying understanding more about, vegetables and what comes out of the earth and, you know, all the creation that God's given us. And I think we've got to wake up to some of these things. I really do, and I'm reading more about the ways we can help ourselves. You know, if I just keep putting chocolate and mince pies, I know it's fun, but here's the thing, there are consequences to that, and they're not always good. And the more I eat sugar, my headaches, my migraines kick in. And when I drink Diet Coke, the aspartame, it gives me headaches. And I'm realizing I can't be doing these things. And it's, you know, and so I don't want to get on a nutritional trip here, but I just want to share some of the things that I'm learning about my own self. And I believe in creation, and what comes out of the ground is a great way to stay strong and healthy. But the answer to supernatural health does not begin with creation. It begins with redemption. Don't just put your trust in creation, but redemption. Now, what do you mean by that? Eating right alone does not guarantee good health. Creation is fallen, but Christ is redeemed. There's only one chapter in the Bible dedicated to creation. There are hundreds of chapters dedicated to Christ's redemptive power. And I think we need to be careful. I'm all about studying nutrition, but that is not the answer fully. The full answer is, number one, we are paid for by the precious blood of Jesus. Now that, together with creation, is walking in a supernatural health. So what I'm asking us to do, and I'll be talking about this again in just a few moments, but we're going to start a 21-day fast in a week on Monday. We're starting it early this year. The reason we're starting it earlier is people are saying, hey, we want to jump into it straight after New Year. And one of the things we want you to do on that 21-day fast is, especially families, but do this, is every day for those 21 days, receive communion in your home. You can do it at breakfast time, lunch time, dinner time, supper, whenever you feel, whenever the family gets together, and just for a couple of minutes, just pull some bread out of the cupboard, a little drop of juice, and just eat it and remember Jesus and remember his redemptive power in your life. And I believe that every time we eat and drink, we're literally becoming whole. And God is going to renew our youth as well in that process. And so beginning on January the 6th, we're starting prayer and fasting, and we would love you to do that. The third, I'm not going to spend long on this, but the third step when it comes to declaring a vision over our health is wisdom. So it's prayer, Holy Communion, and wisdom. We need wisdom in this area of our lives. I believe creation plays a key role in our health. I really do. And I think we need to be wise, seek good nutritional advice about what we eat and drink. And the key to everything in life is moderation. People ask me all the time, what do you think about this? What do you think of that? Simple, moderation. Life in balance. Paul said it like this: it's true that our freedom allows us to do anything, but that doesn't mean that everything we do is good for us. It does not mean everything we do is good for us. I'm free to do as I choose, but I choose never to be enslaved to anything. And I think that's just wisdom. Anyway, we're going to move on to number three as the team come up. We've got to declare a vision over our dreams, over our health. And number three, declare a vision over your soul. Your soul. I wonder if you have a vision for your soul. John had a vision for Gaius' soul. Just put the scripture up one more time, please. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. We thought, Chantal and I thought long and hard about what to call our church. There was, you know, hundreds of options, but when we thought about Soul Church, there was just this peace, because we could have called it Body Church or Mind Church or Emotional Church. And all those things, we want to be healthy, don't we? We want to be healthy. But we felt the most important thing in a person is your soul, because it's the eternal part. It's the eternal being. It's the bit that lasts, the bit that goes on and on when your body fails. And so this is why the church is called Soul Church, is because we want your spiritual being to prosper. You can go to the gym and they'll help you with your body. You can go to the library, they'll help you with your mind. You can go to all different places to help you with your emotions. But here's the deal. We want to help your soul prosper. That's why when people are coming in at the Wonder on Christmas Eve, they're going, something's different about this place. Well, what it is their soul has been dormant for so long that when they come in, it wakes up. It wakes up. And people's souls are waking up. People were texting and tweeting us from Carrow Road saying, I don't know why, but I was crying when the choir was singing. Well, why were they crying? Because their soul was waking up. Their soul had been probably asleep since they went to Sunday school as a child. And for some of you, you're here today and you think the reason you're back here is because God's waking your soul up. But God doesn't want you just to have a little wake-up moment. He wants you to live alive. He wants your soul to prosper. He wants your soul to become new and renewed in Him. One of you have a vision for your soul. John had a vision for Gaius' soul. Matthew put it like this. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul? What does it matter if I go to the gym and I look all buff? What does it matter if I have a high IQ? I read 100 books a year, but I lose my soul. None of that matters in the bigger scheme of life. What really matters above everything else is the condition of your soul. And how many of us will be honest and admit sometimes our soul suffers? We gain more followers on Instagram. We gain more likes on Facebook. We gain more popularity at school. We gain, but in the process of all that, we suffer because our souls suffer. And even for Chantal and I, and I know for some of our staff, with the Wonder, everyone else's soul is waking up. Everyone's giving and giving and giving, and your soul can be so tired. And God created us to be human beings, not human doings. So many times we get caught up by doing more, doing. We go. And I am the worst at this. Okay, so I'm just sharing an honesty moment. Anyone else be honest and say, that's you. You go. And do you know who suffers? Your soul and the people closest to you. We can be a public success and a private failure. You can be successful in your work. You can be successful. I think the Wonder was just, oh, I've said it. Okay. The W was amazing. It was phenomenal. One of the things I loved about the Wonder is it wasn't just a few fun songs and a story. That story was pretty challenging because Kevin was me and Kevin was many of you, always darting around trying to do the next thing. And I think we all felt connection to Kevin in that script. And your soul needs to prosper. John recognizes this. He says to Gaius, hey, I want you to prosper. I don't want you to be so busy. I don't want you to be so flat out that you forget your soul. You know, the most important thing we can do in the day is wake up our soul. I want to encourage you to set some habits. Habits in your life for 2020. One of the greatest habits you can set is just taking some time to read the Bible. How easy is it to go on social media and swipe right and like and do all that stuff? And I'm all about it. I think it's brilliant. But this is what gets neglected. And I think for some of us, our souls are tired. And for others of us, our souls need to wake up. And how does it wake up? It wakes up in God's Word. And it wakes up by being in the right environment. And church is an environment where your soul can come alive. I know many of you are going to be setting New Year's resolutions. And I think it's brilliant. I think do it. On top of your list, if you can write these two things, God's Word, number one, and God's house, number two. If you can do that, because the Bible says those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of their God. Your marriage will flourish, your relationships, your finances. Everything flourishes by starting off planted in God's Word and planted in God's house. And for Chantal and I, there are two commitments we've always made: to set some time aside every day for God's word and prayer, and set some time aside for the house of God. We don't always get it right, but our soul stays alive. And I think the starting point of change is actually admitting the truth, not ignoring it. Let's not go into a new year pretending that we're all good. Go into a new year going, actually, why don't we do some self-evaluation? Have some feedback to yourself. Pascal said this. He said, most of humanity's problems come from the inability to sit still. I reckon he got that from David, who said, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we just need a deep, hard look inside, and it requires painful honesty. I think a little bit like Adam and Eve, we'd much rather mask it over and hide from the truth with work and exterior things. But I'm going to ask you a question today. How's your soul? Not how's your relationships, not how is your Christmas. How is your soul, the spiritual part of your life? If you could give that a tick from 1 to 10, I wonder where you'd tick it. This isn't to condemn people. This is to help people. Because you might just be a 2. Hey, next year you could be a 3 or a 5. God wants your spiritual being to come alive. We're going to help you kickstart that with a fast and a fresh devotion to Christ. As a church, we've loved feasting over the last few days, but now we're going to fast. Starting on Monday, we've got this lovely little prayer booklet. I'm going to ask the team to begin to hand those out, called All Things New, Prayer and Fasting. And for 21 days, we're going to ask you to pray every day and to set aside some of the luxuries, food items like fast food. And if you want to do the Daniel fast, it's on the back what the Daniel fast is. There's the full fast, partial fast, Daniel fast, intermittent fast, electronic fast. And we want you to really consider just doing something to come out of the rat race of life. You know the thing about the rat race? Even if you win, you're still a rat. So for 21 days, starting in next week, Steve will talk about this a little bit more. But for 21 days, we want you just to set some time aside for your soul to come alive. And we've given you some scriptures there, starting with the Lord's Prayer, talking about, and this isn't about the church. Every one of our fasts have been about the church historically. This is about you. Chantal and I wanted your soul to come alive for 21 days. And so we've given you just 4 or 5 days after Christmas to clean the cupboards, eat up some of the excess food. And then we're going to go into a time of praying and fasting and believing God that mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, we will come alive. And one of the things that I want you to do, and you don't have to, but I'd love you to do this, because Chantal and I are going to do it, and as a church, we're going to do it as well, is we're going to come off social media. Now, if you use social media to run your business, please just ignore this. But personally, social media can be a huge distraction in our lives. The red button, the red indicator goes, you've got a message, and we live in such a distractive age. And so what we want to do is set some time aside where literally we connect with God and we connect face to face with one another. And so this will be a huge thing, especially for me, because this is an area I struggle with. You don't have to do it, and no one's looking at you, you do or you don't, but as a church, we're coming off, Chantal and I are going to come off, and we're just going to have 21 days of drawing closer to God, receiving communion in our homes every day with our family. I actually think something's going to happen in our church. I believe that we are going to have a spiritual awakening. Our souls are going to come alive. Every day there's scriptures for you to read from your Bible. There's a plan there. And I want to encourage us, hey, let's start the year the way we mean to go on. If you're going to build a house, what's the first thing you do? You come up with a plan, and then you put the foundations in. So this is the plan, the foundations for the next decade is 21 days. And I have never met one person who's committed to a fast who's come up to me later and said, that was the worst thing I've ever done. Every single person since we've been doing this has come up to me and said, thank you so much. That was the hardest but most rewarding thing I've ever done. Because here's what happens, as I'm going to finish with this. When you die to your flesh, your spirit comes alive. When you deny your flesh, when you see that McDonald's sign and you keep going instead of putting your indicator on, your spirit rules your flesh. And that's where God wants us to be. Pretty cool, eh? Paul wrote this. He says, if the axe is dull, one does not sharpen the edge. But he must use more strength. Wisdom brings success. Wisdom here is saying, I'm going to take some time out spiritually to sharpen my edge. 2020. Prayer and fasting is simply applying the right tools in our life to sharpen ourselves for 2020. This is going to be the greatest year for you and your family. I'm declaring it over you. You've got to declare it over you too. This is going to be your finest year yet. But it begins by sharpening the axe. All of the greats in the Bible fasted. Nehemiah, Daniel, Elisha, Paul, David, even Jesus himself fasted. I don't think at 365 days, 21 days is much to set aside some time to fast. Someone asked me this recently. They said, what does fasting accomplish? That's a really good question. What does fasting accomplish? The answer is this. It simply brings you closer to God. It removes the roadblocks between you and God. It brings you closer. And so starting on January the 6th, we're going to go into a 21-day season of fasting. There will be no sausage rolls in the cafe. We will have plenty of fruit and vegetables and nuts and healthy things. Don't all cheer at once. Beloved, I pray. Beloved, 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 you are loved. I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, and that your soul will prosper, Soul Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's stand. The first step to all of this begins with right relationship with Jesus. And he loves you so much that he died on a cross for you. He shed his blood that you could experience the redemptive power of Christ. I don't know whether you attended the Wonder, came to Christmas Eve. I don't know whether a friend brought you here today, but here's the deal. We all need forgiveness and we all need a Savior. None of us can do this journey alone. We weren't designed to do it on our own. We need Jesus. We need him to guide us and direct us along life's path. And today, maybe you once walked with God. Maybe you can relate to the story of that girl that I read out at the beginning. Maybe you grew up in a religious home and maybe you've fallen away. But this morning, this afternoon, even, you want to come back. Maybe this is your first time. You're saying, hey, I'd love to connect with God. I felt something here today. That's because your soul is waking up. Your soul is alive. You can accept Jesus as a friend, as a Savior. You say, John, I'm not good enough. You don't know the times I've failed and made mistakes. None of us are good enough. None of us are worthy. None of us deserve it. But it's not based on what we deserve, what we've done. It's based on what Christ did on our behalf. We're not talking about what you've done wrong here at Soul Church. We're talking about what Christ did right on your behalf. So just with every eye closed, I'd love to pray for you. You say, John, today I really feel like a connection to God. I feel like my soul's coming alive again. I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. I'm simply going to count to three and I'm going to pray a prayer, but I'd love to know who I'm going to pray for. So when we get to three, would you just slip up your hand long enough and high enough so I can see it? Say, include me. One, two, three. Just lift it up. Say, pray for me. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Beautiful. God bless you. Beautiful. Anyone else? Say that to me today. God bless you. Good on you. Why don't we say this prayer out loud together as a family? Dear Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he came to earth as a baby. He lived and he died. He shed his blood for me. 3 days later, he rose again. I'm sorry for living life my own way. And I receive your forgiveness today. I'm now a follower of Jesus. Amen. Come on, let's thank everyone who said that prayer. You said that prayer for the first time and lifted your hand. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. It's not about your hand, it's about your heart. That's what happens. It's in your heart. It's not in your hand. It's where God does his work. And if you're saying, hey, today I really, really felt a connection to God as I said that prayer, our team are going to be out in the foyers afterwards. They're going to be holding up the Bibles in their hands. Please take a Bible. Like I said, remember those two steps? Number one, God's house. Sorry, number one, God's word. Number two, God's house. This is step one today. This isn't the end, it's the beginning. And so please take a Bible and love to see you again next Sunday. We have service times next Sunday, 9 a.m., 10:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m. and 5 p.m. We don't have any service this evening because it's kind of Christmas season. We've got four services next Sunday. We would love you to come back and see us. So please take time out to do that. But one more time, would you just thank everyone who's lifted their hand? We're going to take a moment right now and we're going to anoint people with oil. And the oil is a symbol of God's presence in our life. And maybe you come for the first time and you think, wow, first of all, you told me to stop eating and now you're going to put oil on my head. Okay, we only do this once a year, all right? And the oil is a symbol of God's presence. And it's just a way that we love to pray for people at the start of a new year. And in Isaiah, it says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. Now, growing up, I thought the anointing was there for to make me feel good. That's not what the anointing is. It's there to do good. To do good. God is anointing you today to do good in your work, in your education. And as we head into a new year, we need God's presence like never before. Let me tell you, there is a lot of opposition that's rising up against the church and Christians. And we need God's presence. We need God's presence to fill us with his wisdom and with his might and with his power. And no weapon formed against you, your family, the church is going to prosper. And as we head into a brand new year, a brand new decade, the anointing is a symbol that God's presence goes with us. So what's going to happen is I'm going to, in just a moment, our team have already been prayed for, the majority of them, but the ones who haven't, they're going to step forward and we're going to pray. And our staff and team, they're just going to go past each one of you, just going to put a little drop of oil on your forehead. And if you don't want that, just say, hey, that's not for me. That's totally cool. And we're just going to pray a really simple but powerful prayer over you that God's presence will be with you in every boardroom, in every classroom, in every place that you go. God's presence is going to go with you. And it's nothing to be scared of, okay? I never turn down prayer. I'm like, more, bring it on, more the better. More the better. In this day and age, more prayer the better. And so I'm going to ask our staff and team just to head down the front. We're going to pray for you. And can I just say as well, there's nothing special about the oil. It's from Asda. So don't get hooked up on where's the oil from. The oil's just from Asda. It's not what the oil is, it's what it represents. The oil is just a representation of God's presence in our lives. So Chantal and I are going to pray for those who have not been prayed for yet. And then our team's going to head out and pray for you. And you know, if you've got something you want the team to pray for, just say, hey, I've got this little thing, I just want you to pray for me. And our team would love to do that for you. And the worship team are going to play behind me. You can sing along as we worship together. So come on, this is a sacred moment. Let's really seek God. Thank you. God's given me a word for at least one person, maybe two. But some of you have made some mistakes this year, and you're living with guilt, and you're living with shame. And God wants you to know today that you're loved and you're forgiven, and not to carry yesterday's mistakes into the new year. And this is a church where we don't point fingers, we don't judge. Our heart is to love people, restore people through the redemptive power of Jesus. And so the message is this: you've got to stop remembering what God's already forgotten. God wants you just to know today that you're loved. You're forgiven. And God wants you to walk into a brand new year, not with shame, not with regret, but with hope. So just with everyone's eyes closed, if you're saying, I've been holding on to some stuff, maybe some mistakes and poor choices, shame, I just want to pray literally that God right now will release people, because you don't need to carry that baggage into a new year. Come on, why don't we just have an honest moment to say, hey, I just need to let go of just a couple of things. Just slip up your hand. Let me just pray for you right now. The great thing about church in Christ is when he's not judging us, he's just loving us. Father, you see every hand. And you know we all fall short from time to time. We mess up. We say things, do things, write things. We regret. And your love is so much deeper, so much wider than our mistakes. So I just pray right now that people would feel your love afresh, that they wouldn't feel condemned, that your grace covers a multitude of sin. And as we head into a new year, we don't carry the shame, the pain of the past. We walk in with great expectations, confidence and boldness, forgetting the things which are behind. We press on towards the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's praise God. I wrote a declaration. I love declaring things, as you could probably pick up. I wrote a declaration for 2020. It's going to come up on the screen. I'm going to say a line, and I want us to don't just whisper it. Let the enemy hear you say it. Come on, let's have some faith today. Can we have some faith in the room? Come on, this is what I want my 2020 to look like. Okay, we declare. Let's start again. I thought I was playing a round of golf. We declare that this year, all things will become new. We declare that 2020 will be a year of salvation for our city. We declare supernatural vision over our dreams and our plans. We declare health over our bodies, over our minds and our families. We pray discipline to prioritize our souls and our personal time with you. We declare a release of supernatural faith to believe God for miracles. We declare that this would be a year that the prodigals would return home. We declare that God would restore broken relationships in marriages and families. We declare that the best is yet to come. Come on, praise God.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com. So we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.